You're listening to the Ranch Church podcast. For more information and service times, go to ranchchurch.com.
Here we go. This is close to the worship scene as I'll ever get right here, but it feels cool being behind here, man. I love it. Do I sound better? I think I do. I like this, bro. So I'm going to invite Jeff Drews up. He's a good friend. He's one of our deacons. I don't know if you guys, we have four deacons. Jeff Drews, James Wellman, Leo Curti, and Ricky Villalobos. And we've asked Jeff to come up and just share a little bit about TRC, about this place. I really don't know what he's going to say. I know it's going to be good. And come on up, bro. Come on up.
Well, hi. Hello, everyone. As Pastor Jeff just said, my name is Jeff Drews. For those of you that don't know me, for those of you that do know me, you're probably wondering why I'm up here. I kind of am myself, too. So, public speaking used to be pretty much the hardest thing I could think of for me, the scariest thing. So much so that when I was asked to speak at my college graduation, I ended up making a deal with the other speakers that I would write their speeches so that I wouldn't have to speak. But that's all changed, though. Now I have the confidence of the Lord, and the Lord used TRC as an instrument to help build that confidence. And so 2 years ago, I was, my mother and I were baptized together in Los Olivos by Pastor Jeff and Pastor Rick and Justin Jacobs. And since then, the Lord has just used so many of you in my life to build me into the man that I am today. I started discipleship with Pastor Jeff, and we've become amazing friends and going on Mexico missions trips with Phil and Cindy Johnson. And the Lord has just really worked through all of you to build me and or just to show me what it is to walk along with God and to be a child of God. And so just about 2 weeks ago, we had a meeting, all the deacons and all the elders, and we kind of discussed what the plans and the hopes were for Shoestring. And we came up with three common themes. Those themes were that we wanted to make sure that God was glorified, that the Spirit resided here, and that it was pleasing to the Spirit, and that we had a chance to build greater ministry. And so as the week went on for me, or the last couple of weeks, and I've kind of just been praying over that, I really saw how that all just exists through us all as a church body. And I thought of chapter 11, verse 24 of Mark, where it says, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be done for you. And so I just like to ask all of us, just as a church, just to go before God and to go before boldly and to ask for his will for Shoestring and for us as a church. And I think if we do that it'll be pleasing to God, it'll glorify God, and that it'll help us to build ministry. And so with that, said, I'm going to introduce Pastor Mike, and he's going to take it over. So thanks a lot.
Thank you, Jeff. Hi. Let me get my pulpit here. Good morning. Welcome to, this is officially Shoestring Cathedral, this row right here. Welcome to Shoestring Cathedral. It comes with children and trees, tailgaters, which next week they promised, well, it won't be next week, won't be here next week. Next time we're going to back up all the pickups. We want to see grills. Get the grills up. Get this thing going on here. Right? This is it. Back a touch. I'm getting feedback, right? A little more. He's kind of bossy, man. Yeah. All right, those sound guys. Where was I? Oh, this place here. And you know, as Jeff was saying, when we had a board meeting, pastors meeting, deacons meeting, just this time just to get together a couple weeks ago and look at the vision at this place. And one of the themes that also came up was that, you know, we're so accustomed to, you know, fundraisers and how people are you know, bringing the big money, the big bucks, and you know, when I'm kind of sitting there kind of thinking, wow, how insignificant am I? You know, I just don't have the big bucks. I'm sorry about that. But you know what I do have? I have these 5 loaves of bread and these 2 fishes, right? And I'm going to bring those and say, God, you have those. You can have those. I know I don't have much, but I have that. And then what happens is we just sit back and God takes that widow's mite that you gave, and next thing you know, he multiplies that, and he multiplies it again, and he multiplies it again. Next thing you know, Bob's your uncle, and this is our house, all right? This is it. This is going to be our home. And I believe that with all my heart, that God can multiply whatever it is you have to give, whatever it is you have to give. Doesn't really matter how insignificant you think it is. God will honor you for whatever it is that you give. So with that, we're going to have a Bible study this morning. Whoa, yeah. We are in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, if you would be so kind as to open up your Bibles to that. And I've got a couple titles for this message this morning. The first message is, Completely Studying the Complete Bible Makes You Complete. Completely Studying the Complete Bible Makes You Complete. Or in other words, it takes the whole Bible to make a whole Christian. I don't know which one is more apropos, but they both work, okay? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, this morning, we just want to take what you've given us now and unravel it, pour over it, study it. But in order to do that correctly, we need you. We need your Holy Spirit to come alongside us, to give us and grant us your power through the gifts of anointing, through the gifts of understanding. We ask for your power not only to understand this, but to take it home and to apply it to our lives. And for this, it takes courage, takes commitment, takes discipline. And for that, it takes a transformation. So, Father, transform us this morning through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's look at verses 14 and 15 first. The Bible says this, But you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So the author here, we have Paul. Actually, to be more technical, we have God. As we all know that it is God who wrote these scriptures, and we're going to get into that little detail much, much deeper in just a couple minutes. But as Timothy is receiving this final letter from Paul, he's reminding Timothy that as the pastor, as the senior pastor in Ephesus, that you got to continue in the things that which you have learned and knowing from whom you have learned them. And of course, Timothy learned them from Paul. He learned them from his mother Lois, from his grandmother Eunice. And we were introduced to them earlier in the chapter. And what he has to continue in was this wisdom through the Word of God. Okay, this is not man's wisdom. This is not wisdom from the Greek philosophers. This was God-breathed. This was wisdom from God's words. And that is going to be our theme this morning, looking at God's Word. Because in verse 16, it says, All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And in your NIV, if those of you who study out of NIV, I really like the phrase which the NIV uses. It's called, here instead of inspiration of God, all scripture is God-breathed. And when you look at it in those terms, the phrase God-breathed is mean this is from the mind of God. This isn't put together from the mind of God, from man. This is put together from the mind of God. And this is something God has provided for us, which will make us wise for salvation. That's step number one, wise for salvation. Now, as a young man, being exposed to the gospel, to me it was choose life or choose eternal separation from God, suffering in hell. Life, death. Well, I don't understand why that's so hard for people. It's just such a no-brainer. It doesn't make any sense why people struggle with that, that decision. This is an easy decision. So obviously, I wanted to be wise, so I chose life. So I chose salvation. I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. But it was through God's written word, his documented word. And this is what God thinks of his word. Psalm 138:2 says, "You have magnified your name above your word." I mean, your word above your name. So if you have magnified your word above your name, you think your word is in a pretty high place. Paul says in Acts chapter 20, "I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." So when you talk about the whole counsel of God, when you talk about God's word, it's from cover to cover. And it's all very important. Because Jesus quoted this himself in the temptation when Satan took him to a high place and he told him to change these stones into bread. And you remember this temptation in the desert that Jesus endured. He said from Deuteronomy chapter 8, to Satan, "A man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So Jesus did not think, speak, and reveal his word through dreams and visions, but he had us write it down. And I didn't, when I said Jesus, that wasn't a mistake. We know Jesus is God. But we also know that it was Jesus himself that was meeting with Moses in what we call the tent of meeting, and he was with Moses face to face, and he revealed to Moses the law, which was documented by Moses, written down. And so it wasn't all about, you know, concepts and ideas and principles and precepts. These were specific words that God had men written down. It is well documented. And so it's very important for us to read and study and apply God's word. I love this quote from Charles Spurgeon. It says, "A Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't." Right? And so on that note, I brought my most worn-out Bible to you this morning just so I'd make myself look really spiritual, right? I even got duct tape on it holding this thing together, okay? Nice kidding. That's not, you know, I could have just gone out to the driveway and ran it over a few times, okay? So it doesn't really prove anything. But I do love that phrase, "A Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't," okay? But we have to talk about God's communication to us. See, God communicated to us through words. And we know that he's done it through visions and dreams, ideas, concepts, these kind of things. But it was very important for God that it's documented. And see, this sets us apart. Sets us apart from a lot of what we call world religion. How well documented things are, because God was able to prove his word by telling or foretelling the future. So he authenticates his message by predicting, which to us it looks like a prediction, but to God it's already happened. It's a sure thing. So he's able to authenticate his word through prophecy. But the question I want to ask you this morning is, can you write a musical composition this morning? Right now, you sit down, I want you to write down a musical composition, right? You got the song in your head, I want you to write this down. Okay, Can you do this without notes? Probably not. Can you convey to me the word, the music that's in your head right now? I want to share this to you, okay? But I want to, you know, write this down. I'm gonna write a musical composition, okay? It's impossible unless you were to use notes. So in the same way, it's impossible for God to convey these things without using words. So words are very important. And how many times is Pastor Rick and Pastor Jeff up here teaching you God's word, and they go into the Greek, right? They go, well, this word here, this in Hebrew, this is what this means, or in Greek, this is what this means. And that is so doggone impressive, isn't it? Yeah, where's Pastor Jeff? That is so doggone impressive when you do that. So, because I don't know a lick of Greek, okay? And so, but when they do that, it's just kind of cool. But it's like, you know, if you're a geologist, you study, you know, rocks, you got to have rocks, all right? It's like describing the sun without describing light. In the study of anthropology, what do you have to have if you're studying anthropology? You have to have people, right? So everything kind of goes hand in hand. And so God uses words to do these things. And I want to prove that here in the scriptures how God does this. Because remember, God told Moses to go talk to Pharaoh, to let my people go. He says, I will be with your mouth and I will teach you what to say when you go. Right? Remember, he says, well, Aaron speaks better than me. You should use Aaron. But God says, no, I'm going to use you, but I will be with your mouth and I will teach you what to say. He didn't say, I will be with you with your mind and teach you what to think. Right? So right there kind of underlines or underscores this whole idea of God using words, how important words are. When Jeremiah was a young prophet, he didn't say to him, I will inspire your mind and impress upon your thoughts. He told Jeremiah, I will put my words in your mouth. And when we are told to go out and preach the gospel, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will bring remembrance of the scriptures and tell you what to say. Right? So words are very, very important. Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my concepts and my ideas will never pass away. That was wrong, wasn't it? You guys picked up on that. I know some of you are going, what? Look at my Bible. Or did he say, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away? Correct? His words will never pass away. In fact, Jesus says of his word when he was with Moses writing down the law, he said, not one jot or one tittle will pass away until all of this is fulfilled. And we know Jesus is the fulfillment of the law, but not one jot, one not tittle will pass away. Now, when he said that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, if you want to check that out, okay? But what does he mean by a yacht and a tittle? Some of your words says jot, but, you know, I just want to impress you because that's how you say it in Hebrew. Yes. You guys caught that, didn't you? Yeah. So not one jot, not one tittle. Now, jots are like parentheses and tittles are like dotting the I and crossing the T's and all of these punctuations is what Jesus is talking about. They're all important because if you read these things with those jots and those tittles, you kind of get the proper inflection and you get the proper emphasis. And so it really makes a difference. And Jesus says that's important. Even down to that, it's important. Let me tell you a story that I heard about a wealthy woman who went away on a pleasure trip to Europe while her husband was going to spend two long weeks in business negotiations. So, well, she's going to go to Europe. She's going to go shopping. You know, why not? You know, he's not going to be around. I'm just going to go shopping. So she finds herself in Paris. I've got these little deer flying all around my head. It's like I'm waving at people. Hey, hey. And she's on this, she finds herself in Paris and she's window shopping and she's walking down and all of a sudden she stops dead in her tracks. She backs up and looks in the window and there's a jewelry shop. And she goes in there and in the window display, there's this bracelet that she's just gotta have. I mean, this thing is gorgeous. And she looks at it and she says, oh, look at that price tag. Only $75,000. So she takes a picture of it with her phone and she goes outside where she's got a good signal and she sends it to her husband. And she said, I've just found the perfect bracelet that I just got to have. Only $75,000. Well, her husband, you know, in a business meeting currently at the time, his phone buzzes. Oh, my goodness. And so he reaches in and he sees this picture and she sees the message. He sees the message from his wife and goes, only $75,000. And so he immediately goes, no, price too high. Send. Sends it off. And so as it goes with spell correct and things like that, you know how it is when you're texting. She looked at that and she went, no price too high. Oh, what a wonderful man my husband is. And she purchased the $75,000 bracelet. So jots and tittles are very important. So we understand then that underlying all of this is God's word. And there is an application now in verses 16 and 17 here that's super important. And that is this Bible, this word of God, which is given by inspiration of God, which is God-breathed, verse 16, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. The word reproof, that's an archaic word. We don't use it anymore. We kind of use the word rebuke, or you could say disapproval, right? For correction and for instruction in righteousness. So that the man of God or woman, this is gender neutral. I'm not going to let you ladies off the hook, right? So that the man or woman may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, there's no other Bible in the world that is going to promise that or even attempt to promise that. This book will make you complete. It'll make you wise for salvation. It is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction of righteousness, and will make you complete, and it'll make you thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's a lot. That is a lot. Okay, that's a lot of promises, and that's a lot to deliver on. But I'm going to tell you right now, as I look across at all these beautiful faces here this morning, I see evidence that is all true. Because I see people here this morning that are transformed. What other reason would you have to be here? I mean, we got tailgaters here this morning and no ball game. What are they doing here? What are you people doing here? This is Southern California. We could be surfing. We could be fishing. We could be out playing. But why are you here? You see, the evidence tells me that you are hungry for God's word and you came to eat, right? You came to get fed. That's why you're here. You came so that you find this profitable. I find this profitable. You find this profitable. So now we have gathered and we'll share in this love, this time of love. So in the book of James chapter 1, and if you guys would like to, go ahead and turn there, those of you who have your Bibles. James chapter 1, starting in verse 21, we're going through 21 through 25. Okay. We want then for this application to be profitable. We want this to be profitable in our lives. There's a way to do that. And this kind of is a good, concise little area of scripture here that teaches us how to do that. It says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man. Lost me. There we are. There's nobody back there, is there, playing with me? Okay. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work or the word, he is the one who will be blessed in what he does. All right, so the application of God's word, right? It can only benefit you if you go and you do it. As Pastor Rick always says, I want you to go and read this and do what it says. And if you do what it says, you will be blessed. There's nothing better than that right now. It is that is a complete and wonderful saying right there. So be a doer of the word. This is the application to how you will be profitable. So now let's talk about this doctrine. Profitable for doctrine. Now doctrine is a fancy word, right? Everybody thinks, oh yeah, doctrine, right? I don't want to concern myself with doctrine. Well, when you understand the meaning of the word doctrine, you'll probably change your mind, because doctrine basically is this: the body of teachings and instructions, the taught principles. Or in other words, to put it simply, sound biblical teaching. That's doctrine. And that's not too daunting, is it? Yeah, I'm really not going to be put off by that if that's all doctrine is. Sound biblical teaching. Now, Psalm 119. If you guys would like to go there, go ahead and go there. Psalm 119. The most famous verse there is verses 11. We're going to look at 10 and 11. So verse 11 is probably one that you got in your house somewhere hanging up. I used to have a t-shirt that had this on there, right? Psalm 10 and 11 says this: with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandment. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Okay? Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's the one that everybody probably has in your house somewhere. It's a famous one. Everybody's probably memorized that one. But one thing that you probably don't know about Psalm 119 is there's a word in there. It's called precept. Precept. Okay? God's precepts. And the word precept is in Psalm 119 21 times. A precept is a commandment, instruction, or an order intended as an authoritative rule of action or a general rule intended to regulate behavior or thought. Now, that's a mouthful, so I'm going to have to say it again, okay? A precept is a commandment, instruction, or order intended as an authoritative rule of action or a general rule intended to regulate behavior or thought. So we live our lives by God's precepts and God's principles. And in order for us to establish that we stand on that, it has to be a document. How many things in our daily lives are documented? Okay? We go down the road right here, okay? What is preventing us from running head on to the other guy? Stay in your lane. Right? Stay in your lane. Stop at the stop sign. Use your blinker when you're going to turn right or left. I get chewed out more often than anything else for not using my blinker in the car. My wife says, I am so rude when I drive because I don't use my dinker. Just, why is that so hard? Why is that so hard? Can't you just turn your blinker on? Sorry, I just that way. Right? So, but these things are documented and these things have been laid out in the rule of law. And so this is what we have here, the rule of law. Right? Well-documented words in here. And now let's talk about rebuke, reproof, or discipline, or I should say this correction here. These words, right? Rebuke, reproof, correction. These words. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There is no creature hidden from its sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him who must give account. So that's what this is. The word of God is a sharp divider of soul and spirit. This word of God will give you the condition of your soul. This word of God will tell you where you stand in your relationship with God. This word of God is going to tell you if you are in good standing or in righteous standing, or you are in a sinful position with the Lord your God right now. The documented word of God, living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, who here likes to be rebuked and corrected? There's nobody, nobody's got a hand up. Nobody's got a hand up, okay? Now, I'm going to tell you what, this is kind of like a guy thing, right? Guys, what probably starts more fights in your house than this? When you're wrong and your wife is telling you you're wrong and you cannot admit it. Man, if I had a dollar for all those fights, I'd be a rich man. Be a rich man. And so nobody likes to be corrected. Nobody likes to be in that position. And so when you're reading God's word and you find yourself exposed, you're exposed by God's word because this is truth. This is the definition of sin, what you're doing. Oh my gosh, I'm in trouble. Repent before your God. That's that correction. That is that reproof, that rebuke. There's probably not a better scripture that I can think of is in Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 7 through 13. I told you we're going to have a Bible study this morning. We're having a Bible study this morning. So turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 5, verse 7. While you're on your way there, let me just say this. Another proverb, Proverbs 15:5, says this, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. Yeah, that's a good one to live by. But Proverbs chapter 5, verse 7 is very appropriate for anybody who's gone through any type of correction. The actual context of this scripture is a man has chosen an adulterous relationship. He's out there, he's out in fornication, and he's practicing that. And now he's in a place to where he's been found out. He's been caught. We don't know the specifics of this because Solomon has just given us generality here. Okay? So here's a man who's been caught in sexual immorality. And this words of wisdom from Solomon goes like this. Therefore, hear me now, my children. And do not depart from my word, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. You got that phrase again? do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one. Lest aliens be filled with your wealth and your labors go to the house of a foreigner, and you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed. So we see here is what the word of God is saying. Do not depart from the words of my mouth. You go through with this, you continue to do this, you will lose everything. You will lose it all. And verse 12 says this, how I hated instruction and my heart despised correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. I'm going to tell you something a little bit personal here. I've been in public ministry for almost 35 years now, well over 30 years. And I have never once heard, not one man, in all the conversations I've had, not one man has ever said, man, I wish I would have fornicated more when I was younger. Man, I wish I would have partied harder and got drunk more, and you know, as they're bragging upon their lives. No, you know what? To a man, everybody's remorseful, and they're going, why did I not listen to the words of my God? And now I am paying that price. I have lost everything. I have destroyed relationships. I'm estranged from my family. I'm estranged from my children. My children don't even call me because of the decisions I have made. A fool despises his father's instruction. To kind of wrap this up, I want to kind of give you a little bit of an analogy here. All right? Let's just say, let's go back to the last 1,000 times I've been to church service, all right? I don't know how far back that goes. I'm not going to go to my calendar and figure out how many times I go to church in a year. You know, 52 weeks in a year, that's at least twice a week. Going back 30 years, I don't know how many times it is. But let's just say I've got 1,000 church services under my belt right now. I can't remember specific content, really, of any of the sermons that I've heard. I can't go back and repeat word for word of any of the sermons I've heard. I've been taught by over, I don't know, 50, 60 different pastors, whether online or at church services and sitting down and doing this. So if I can't remember anything specifically that was ever taught to me, really, I mean, nothing word for word, well, was it good for me to go to church 1,000 times? What profit was it for me to go to church 1,000 times? Like I said, you know, there's other things we could be doing. Well, let me just kind of answer that by saying this. How many, in comparison of 1,000, for every 1,000 times I've been to church, how many meals have I eaten? How many times have I eaten food and sat down for an actual meal? Let me turn sideways. Does it look like I missed any meals? I eat. Boy, do I eat. I like it. It's my favorite. That's my biggest hobby right now. I love to eat. I am an eater. Okay? But let me tell you something about that. I said, unless it was a celebration, maybe. I can't tell you really what was on the menu for every one of those meals. But I'm going to tell you this. I was nourished along the way at every one of those meals. And when I tell you guys this about every church service you've been to, you've been nourished at every one of them all along the way. Your life would be so much different today if you haven't been nourishing your spiritual body all along the way. kind of I shun to think of what my life would be like without spiritual nourishment in my life. Now, I could stand to miss a meal or two, but I really can't stand to miss church because it is so profitable for me. Now, I'm going to close with this scripture, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. So that's what it comes down to, right? John chapter 14 says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You love me, you will obey my teachings, right? Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flowers falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. So this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. Amen. So yes, words are important. God's words are transformational. Your words are transformational if you use and select your words carefully, and the words that come out of your mouth are words of love that will endure through Jesus Christ, your saving Lord. So it all comes back full circle to love, doesn't it? Everything that we study, everything you read, always, always comes back to love. God's word. God is love, and his word endures forever. Let's pray. So as we started, we asked for courage and boldness. We asked for the discipline to apply this to our lives. We asked for the ability to take this word out from this place into the world. Help us to be your agents of love. Help us be your agents of transformation, and to always, always use the words that are documented for us in our Bibles. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, we just ate spiritual food. Let's go eat some salad. Have a great Sunday.
Thanks for listening to the Ranch Church Podcast. For more information and service times, go to ranchchurch.com.